Hi, I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Wendy Thomas, president and CEO at SecureWorks. SecureWorks is 100% focused on cybersecurity. For nearly two decades, they've committed to fighting the adversaries in all their forms and ensuring that organizations like yours are protected. To learn more about SecureWorks, visit SecureWorks.com. Welcome, Wendy. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So first off, congratulations on your new position as president and CEO at SecureWorks. Before we ask about that, maybe you could take us back in time. I'd like to know about your earliest exposure to technology or your interest in it. Maybe that was high school or college.
Sure. You know, take me way back. So I remember the first time I sat down at a computer. It was actually the first time I saw one in the back of my elementary school classroom. It was probably 1980 or so. And when I figured out that the command lines that made the screen fill with my name, when I figured that out, I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. And I remember telling my grandfather about it that night, and he explained to me that the punch cards that I kept using for scratch drawing paper were really used to run a much bigger version of that at GW University Hospital, where he worked in maintenance there. So it was sort of an early interest, but it was when that War Games movie came out just a few years later in the early 80s that, that fascination was in. But I honestly didn't connect that you could make a career out of that, that was really an option. Didn't have a personal connection or know what that looked like back then. So that is why speaking to kids and, you know, internships and mentorships are so important, so people can picture themselves, right, in those different kind of roles like you have at a company like SecureWorks. So long story short, it wasn't until much later in my career, a graduate degree, a few jobs under my belt, that I realized, you know, working in the technology space would feed a lot of other things that were pretty important to me. It's a space where there's constant innovation, right? So you have to be learning all the time, which is a good thing. Technology breaks borders. So I knew it would be a globally impacting type of career. And with security in particular, I knew it would be in a space that beyond being commercially successful, right, it's going to be a growing field, that it would be beneficial to the world. And so when we talk about our mission at SecureWorks, which we do a lot, it's about securing human progress. And that's very personal to me, right? That embodies that view. And so when I think about working at SecureWorks and now leading the team in that mission, it's an opportunity to make a real difference in one of what I consider to be our time's greatest challenges.
I remember having dinner with my kids one night and my wife looking, you know, across the table. I mentioned punch cards and I just had a bunch of blank stares. Dad, what are you talking about? So, I learned that's not a great way for me to, you know, get young people excited about technology. But people don't realize where this came from, you know, command line prompts and DOS and what have you. Feels nice to go back a little bit. So you have such a strong background in finance and business. Earlier in your career, you were a financial investigator and auditor. You've been a VP of finance and CFO. How does that experience tie into security, if it does?
I know it may seem a little bit distant, but I promise you there's an underlying connection there. In my early college days, there were really two classes that just, I remember sitting there and thinking, this is it. These are interesting. And one was physics and one was economics. And they shared the same fundamental element of expressing observable behavior in the form of mathematical equations. So you want to know what, you know, will happen to the demand for steak when tax rates drop 5%, or how quickly a car can stop if brakes are applied at a certain pressure. I just found that absolutely fascinating, and it sort of opened up a whole nother world that I didn't even realize was there. And so even though I hadn't met anyone at that stage in college who was in a career in finance, that kind of came later, that same relationship of predicting, you know, how much market share you can gain with a certain price move on your product, it had that same fundamental mathematical appeal. It was just a matter of understanding the career path that fit there. And so as it turns out, it fits security too. When you think about the combination of mathematical prediction of behavior, adversary behavior, the security risk to your organization, so many more things like that are absolutely applicable in security as well. So when you have this combination of computer science, mathematics, and data science, you know, beyond the core domain of security itself, it's just a complex problem to solve. And so when you put that against that backdrop of human behavior, right, if you're trying to predict how and why they're going to attack certain targets for a variety of reasons, it just has that same underlying approach. And so the fact is, getting it right is, frankly, just as important, and stakes are just as high as it was in that original War Games movie I was talking about.
So I'm most interested to know how you actually found your way into security, because there are so many smart people with such varied backgrounds who are intrigued by our space. And, you know, they read about cybercrime and they read about cybersecurity, but they just don't see themselves as a fit, or maybe think, you know, there are barriers to entering our field. So how did you find your way?
Well, I found my way in early on, back around 2007. And interestingly enough, I had both a friend at SecureWorks who had just joined, I mean, just a month in or so, but had great things to say. And I had just read an article in The Economist about cybersecurity. And I thought, all right, this is interesting, right? This feels like the future. And so I met with the CEO at the time, Mike Cody, and the CFO, and it was just clear how passionate they were about the fight. And it was clear that this was an industry where I could contribute to an honorable fight, always learn, always be challenged. And that hooked me from day one. And when you combine that with a culture that has always been about securing customers first and creating the teamwork that makes that happen, it was absolutely the right company for me at the right time.
So you mentioned Mike, you know, he has a great reputation, and, you know, SecureWorks has just done, you know, so much in the field. It's a very exciting time for the company looking ahead. But tell us a little bit about, you know, your role. It was a key role that you played. You were involved with SecureWorks strategy, the company's investment in a new approach to security. Tell us about the experience, and maybe in hindsight, would you have done the same things all over again?
Sure. Time is a good teacher. So about 5 years ago, we had just taken the company public. And so I stepped beyond finance for the first time into strategy. And so, you know, it's important to note that both Mike and the CFO at the time took a leap of faith in me to hand me a different type of responsibility. But it was clear as we were doing the work that the security industry and all the underlying technologies that we were responsible for keeping secure were evolving really at an accelerated pace. And so our historic approach to having great security experts work across all these changing technologies and security products really was not going to scale into a new future, right? That we were going to have to, as one of our technology leaders liked to say at the time, data science the heck out of security. And so we obtained the board support for what is now our XDR vision and took the beginnings of the Tejas team, so the engineering and product team. We sort of quartered them off as a startup within the company, gave them all the things we wish we could have built previously with perfect hindsight, galvanized them around the vision of what security could and should look like. And that amazing team, led by someone who is now our chief product officer, Steve Fulton, they built that future. And so when you talk about learnings, as we got close to launch, we introduced the whole company, put the whole force of go-to-market and delivery behind what's now called the Tejas platform, XDR and BDR solutions. And the great news is we hit $100 million in annual recurring revenue just 2 years after launch, right? Faster than any startup in our space inside of a security leader. But I definitely learned a few things, some that I would do again and some that I would improve. I think in terms of the things that were important and good, it was that idea of creating the startup within the company, right, that gave the team the freedom and the culture of innovation required to be creative, not be tied to past ways of doing things. And while it took the rest of the company a little time to understand the value of that sort of startup within the company idea, there's recognition now why it makes sense to start your seedlings in the windowsill and not in the outdoor garden. So that's been a good lesson that I would do again. In terms of different, I would say that I did not move quickly enough to identify the other areas of the business that needed to change as we sort of transformed the platform, the technology, the solutions we took to market, and to therefore design them, resource them, communicate the rationale for those early and often. So that was a pretty big shift from services centric to kind of technology and services combined. And so everything that had to be built from new product support teams to a different customer success approach, all of those could have been designed and invested in earlier in the process had I really stepped back and talked to the organization about everything that had to come together beyond just the technology. So net-net, I've learned in many past initiatives, you cannot over-communicate on a journey like this. And I suspect that's a lesson I'm going to keep improving on, particularly in the new role.
So speaking externally to a lot of followers, the media, CISOs and security teams, SecureWorks has been around for a long time. Company has a great reputation. But of course, nobody knows the company as well as an insider does, and somebody like you who's been there as long as you have. Is there one thing that you'd want to highlight, or a couple of things you'd want to highlight that you'd like the industry to know about SecureWorks that maybe it doesn't?
Thank you for that question. Having been in this space and kind of fighting the good fight with our customers for 20 years, I know that Taegis and XDR, that they are the solution for today's toughest security challenges, and how we communicate that in the market in a credible way, amidst all the noise in the market, that's what I want to make clear. This space likes to sell security products and promise, you know, just buy this and all will be well. But we can see that that's not working, right? As I often say, just buying a treadmill doesn't mean that you lose weight. So facts and proof points and transparency are the way that we build credibility. And so while we've started to receive independent recognition for Taegis, well-regarded industry analysts, Frost & Sullivan, IDC, Forrester, and more, that's important. We also have proof points now for customers having 700 plus customers. So we have proof points around savings in time and money and resources that organizations can achieve with Taegis solutions in place, because we did design it with this vision in mind, right? We're not trying to cobble it together from different solutions. This was the vision that we started with in the first place in terms of the way we architected the platform and designed the solutions. And the last one is around, we really believe in transparency. And so our ability to detect the wide variety of tactics, techniques, and procedures is something we publish on our website. Any customer or prospective customer can see exactly how much weight they can lose with us, how secure they'll really be. And as part of that transparency, it's also important that you build community. So we share our catalog of threat actors on our website. So the community at large, customer or not, has access to our research to keep their organization safe. Because what they should know about us is that we are about winning the security battle in the right way. And that means that we operate as good citizens of a broader security community and not just as a business that provides very effective security solutions.
So, Wendy, I'd like to shift gears and ask you a couple of questions about women in cybersecurity. And I appreciate you sharing all of that about the SecureWorks platform. So, you know, it's an exciting announcement, not just for SecureWorks, but for the industry, you know, to have you in, you know, this position for one of the largest cybersecurity companies in the industry. Around, you know, 10 years ago, we had about 10% of cybersecurity positions filled by women. And that's a global figure. And now that number is about 25%. So we've made progress, but we need to move the needle. We're nowhere near the 50% that so many of us think it should be. Tell us about, you know, your thoughts. What have you seen insofar as the growth, and what do you think we need to do to continue that?
I have witnessed progress. So those stats certainly show we should be optimistic that we can keep moving the needle, whether here at SecureWorks or the broader industry over the coming years. I'm confident. The trick is always pushing for progress, even if we don't yet have perfection. As we have a great board member, Mark Hawkins, he often says to us, better, better, never done, which I think encapsulates the journey that we're on. And clearly the CEO role, right? It is a privilege and it's an opportunity to help all of our teammates, the broader industry teammates from different backgrounds, different genders, you name it, to maybe envision themselves in a leadership role and to view leadership in this space in particular as a way of contributing, as a way of fulfilling a duty to help others realize their best selves, to contribute to the world in a broader way. And that clearly starts at home, right? How do we put in merit-based opportunity at SecureWorks? And by doing that, how do we better reflect the customers and the communities that we serve? But also, how do we do that in the industry more broadly? So when I look at what's worked for us, the areas where we've made progress, it's not one silver bullet, right? It's changing the way we approach our job postings, the way we craft them, removing unnecessary sources of bias in the referral or resume filtering process, making a concerted effort to provide diverse candidate slates to our leaders. So when you think about building internship programs, recruitment efforts, all of those sort of start the beginning of the journey that takes time to come through and the kind of statistics that you were talking about. So while it's important we measure those kinds of statistics with my leadership team each month, it's absolutely important to do that. It is really important to start at the beginning of the journey that will create those outcomes later. When I think about the work of really early in the journey, that a lot of the SecureWorks team invests time speaking at schools, working with kids, trying to build that interest in a career in STEM and particularly security, you know, donating their time and treasure. Those are the kinds of things that help accelerate our mission and frankly can help the community to win this very difficult security fight.
So where we've seen the greatest gain are getting more young people involved and filling more entry-level positions and also mid-level positions. Where we're still not seeing as much movement would be some of the more experienced positions in leadership roles. So for example, every year we do a statistical analysis of the Fortune 500. And this year, 17% of the CISOs at Fortune 500 companies are women. So that's about 85 people out of 500. Do you think, you know, we're going to see more movement there? That's only up about 3% over last year. So we're not seeing the same type of growth in the leadership positions as we are in the others.
It's a good point. The winnowing of women in leadership positions seems to be one of the tougher nuts to crack. And it's not just for women too, right? We have to continue to adopt better practices to sponsor all underrepresented groups across industries and technology, not just security, to start to make progress here. There are a few things that we've put in place at SecureWorks and are working to extend that I look forward to measuring the results of. It really starts with a narrative of growth and opportunity, right? And we have good teammates to hold up as exemplar leaders. And so it starts with the conversation and the openness about it. But when I look at some of the pragmatic things that have made a big difference for our teammates and hopefully will continue to do so, flexible work arrangements. We certainly have all recognized in the last year that you don't have to be in the office to add a measurable value. And I read a lot of articles about this, but If you're focused on, as a leader, outcomes over activity from your teammates, these days, you know, providing work-life flexibility, it's so valuable to great talent. And so flexibility is really not that hard to give if, again, you're focused on outcomes. The second area where we've had great success, especially in the security field, is being very open to candidates with what I'll call non-traditional educations or maybe gaps in their resume, parents who took time off to homeschool, candidates who had to care for a parent, something along those lines. Because I will tell you, some of our best, our hungriest, our brightest teammates, they don't have a traditional education, but their drive to self-educate, pursue certifications, it's inspiring and they add tremendous value to our organization. So there's a win-win opportunity there. And really, last but not least, a lot of organizations have employee resource groups. We take that pretty seriously here at SecureWorks. We have a very strong Women in Action employee resource group. In fact, they're getting ready for their next speed mentoring session, which I always enjoy. And it's that spark of exposure of different mentorships with senior leaders in the organization to navigate a career, to think about your strengths, your weaknesses, and really develop as a person, and therefore position yourself to move into increasing leadership roles. So it's all about fostering that culture and that work environment that gives opportunity, not just to pursue roles, but to develop as a professional.
Well, I love what you had to say about, you know, supporting and encouraging people from non-traditional backgrounds. It makes me think of Deneen DeFiore. She's the Chief Information Security Officer at United Airlines. She'll be in a documentary alongside you and some other leaders in the industry. And Deneen went to school for biology. And, you know, I won't steal her thunder. She has a great story. But she taught herself how to code many years ago. And, you know, she's just an example of somebody with that non-traditional background who today is, you know, one of the top leaders in our industry. So, but it requires, you know, the type of support and open-mindedness that you're talking about to connect with those candidates.
It just needs someone to take that leap of faith.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have to ask, you know, the typical question, you know, looking ahead, you know, in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we don't know how long this journey is going to be, but it's an exciting time for you. You know, what do you hope to accomplish? You know, when you look back at this time, what do you hope to do for SecureWorks?
So it does always come back to that securing human progress, right? This is a hard fight that we're in. I think there's a lot more news coverage these days that folks who are not close to this space see how impactful it is that we do this right. And so I want to look back and say with confidence that SecureWorks was the transformational catalyst in turning the tide in that fight. And in, you know, in some ways, that may be somewhat of a quiet win, right? Not many people notice when referees in a game make all the right calls. They notice when a pipeline attack happens. And so security can be quite similar. It's all the pipelines, the schools, the hospitals that aren't shut down that matter. And so while those don't make exciting headlines, they are what makes the difference to all of our lives and to obviously all of our customers. So we're okay with just winning the game, right? Building the best security technologies, training a whole new generation of security service providers who can run very effective security programs at scale to outpace the adversary on the other side, and just making sure our customers are safe day in and day out. And the more we do that together, we'll win the long game. And I look forward to looking back at being the difference maker in that.
So we've been in touch with some people at SecureWorks in various roles, and they're very excited about, you know, changes at the company, or maybe not changes, but just continuing the journey, your appointment as president and CEO, what you're doing in the XDR space. What's your message to the employees, you know, to your troops internally there going forward?
That one's easy. We have the right vision to win. the security battle and service to our customers, and this is the team to do it, full stop. One of the greatest benefits of stepping into this position after having been at SecureWorks for 9 years is that I know our team, I know their passion for this work, I know their amazing capabilities, I know the solutions that we've built. We've got the best in the business. And that's, as I mentioned, we just hit that 100 million ARR mark faster than our competitors who launched products in this space. And so I told my team last week, this is last Thursday, one of my very favorite quotes from Nelson Mandela, "It only seems impossible until it's done." And so I think our team has made the impossible happen. We are just getting started on the journey. It is an energizing time, and I am so privileged to be part of the SecureWorks team.
Wendy, thank you so much for taking the time to come on with us today. And again, congratulations, and wish you the best in the new role.
Thank you very much. Great to see you.
I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Wendy Thomas, president and CEO at SecureWorks. SecureWorks is 100% focused on cybersecurity. For nearly two decades, they've committed to fighting the adversaries in all their forms and ensuring that organizations like yours are protected. To learn more about our sponsor, visit SecureWorks.com. You can keep up with all of our media at CybercrimeMagazine.com.